today's date is the 7th day of April 2009, and again, it is an honor to serve as a spokesman for honest research and truth in our world. We are under so many stresses and pressures. They're building, as I have warned you about repeatedly. I'm hoping that people take seriously the things that we share here on The French Connection. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, the facts are that we are in a very, very serious financial nightmare. It is going to get worse before it gets better. It is being propagated and pushed into our world by a single group. It is a Zionist conspiracy, and I want to make clear right now that I am not against Jews. I am against criminal Jews, and they happen to come from a camp called Zionism. They are a political movement, and they are a social movement. They do not embody the Judaic principles of Mosaic law, and so they cannot be considered safe from our criticism, because we are not criticizing Mosaic law or the Jewish faith that follows Mosaic law, but we are criticizing a Zionist criminality that has supremacy and racism involved in it. And it is interesting to note that Zionism is alive and well in the world, and it is under pressure, though. The truth about its crimes and its social engineering and its control of communism and its control of banking and media are coming to light. One might wonder why any country would permit any Zionist organization to exist within their borders. To me, it is an anathema to anything free or anything that a society would need. And when you often find out that the people propagating Zionism within a nation, whether that be South Africa or the United States or Britain or France or wherever they are working their sinister crime ideals, they are often dual citizens, as Chertoff was from the Bush administration, or as many of the Zionist criminal Jews that are running the United States are, dual citizen Israelis. You'll find that to be true in Britain as well as in South Africa. And you'll also find that their ideologies are racist in their nature. They call their nation a Jewish state. That by itself says that to anybody born within their borders who's not Jewish is going to be discriminated against. And yes, they are discriminated against. They are the worst apartheid nation in the world, and possibly in the modern world's history. The apartheid practiced within Israel's borders is far worse than anything ever practiced in South Africa. Far, far worse. You need only look at the history to know that to be true. And they have federations across the world that work with impunity in countries around the world, such as South Africa's headquarters of the South African Zionist Federation. Did you know that they openly are able to spread their poison throughout South Africa without anybody challenging what they stand for? We all know that the lies Israel has told about the attacks recently in Gaza are just a single event in a string of events that have gone on for decades, for 60 years and then more, for 100 years, since the beginnings of the first populations being moved into that region and underground criminal gangs killing, maiming, and destroying the fabric of the Palestinian society, from both Christian Palestinians and Islam Palestinians. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, there were very large percentages of that region Christian, as well as a Muslim. And in fact, it's never reported that the Israelis are killing Christians, because that would not sell well in the Christian-dominated West. So they always make it seem like it's Islam being the victim, and of course, because the Zionists control our media, they have already vilified Islam, so they don't get a big response from the public. The public says, oh, well, that's who did the terrorism against us at 9/11, which is a lie. It was Israel who did that. Or that was the people who attacked the barracks in Lebanon, which, again, was a Mossad-generated phalange attack. Or the bombing of the USS Cole, which was also a put-up job by the Mossad. And what we find out, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's easy for the West to vilify Islam because they have done such a good job in their media of making all of these events seem as though Islam created these crimes. But in fact, it was them. But they never tell you that Palestine's Christians are being murdered. They don't tell you that the Lebanese Christians are being murdered. They don't tell you that Christian Zionism in the United States is led by Jewish interests. They don't tell you that people like Bono, this rock and roll guy out of so-called Ireland, saying that he's an Irish national, he well may be, but he's certainly not a Christian. He's from Jewish heritage, as is the sports star from Britain, David Beckham, as is the rock and rollist woman named Lily Allen, and you can go down the list. Jews all, and they are placed into positions. Bob Geldof, you know, a man that sold 4 number one hits in his career, and he's worth $60 million. Impossible without his connections to Tavistock and criminal Zionism, which they run. But it goes back deeper than that, ladies and gentlemen, further than that. We go back into Britain's history, back into Queen Victoria's reign, with a man named Disraeli, a man that was in charge of their government as the first minister or prime minister. And this man was a plant from the bankers, Jewish interest, Jewish heritage, who Zionist Jewified, if you will allow that, the British government. And he did that through infiltrations, through marriages in the Rothschild family into these people's families. Many of the gentrified families that were poverty-stricken married into Jewish mercantile money and merchant money. And these are historical facts. And when people tell you, oh, well, it's the Queen that did it, or it's the Pope in Rome that did it, well, the fact is the Pope is controlled by Zionist interests as well, because his bank accounts have been under their control for over 150 years. So, of course, who controls your bank account controls you. And then you notice that the last pope was from, his mother was Jewish, and then this pope has Jewish roots as well. Then you find out that the Catholic Church has been infiltrated. Now, does that mean the faith of the Catholics, original faith of the Catholics was erroneous? That's up to scholars to decide. But the leadership, the political leadership of the Catholic Church is certainly Zionist controlled. We find that France is completely Zionist controlled as a government. We find that Sweden, through the Bonnier family, is Zionist controlled. We see that behind Obama, in every side, in every part, are Zionist Jews. Axelrod as the man who put him in power, and Rahm Emanuel, who runs his organization. He's put in Department of Labor from the Jewish community. He's put in people throughout the government. And then you find that the American judiciary is controlled by these people, and the drug companies are controlled by them. The food companies, Monsanto and Cargill, at the top are controlled. The internet through Dell Computer and Mr. Gates is Microsoft, and Google being a Zionist Jewish controlled business run out of Herzliya and out of Israel. You can go down the list and keep saying it. 7 out of 10 billionaires being from this community, and I think it's probably higher. You know, they get away with disguising their origins by claiming to be Christian, but their actions tell you they are in fact Zionist. Now, not all people who are Zionists are Jews. The Christian Zionist movement in America has millions of people, and so again, we're not talking about exclusively a religion, although it is Zionist Judaism that controls this movement, controls the crime gang, controls Geithner, who's Jewish, controls Bernanke, who's Jewish, controls the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve and the Bank of New York and Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs and Rupert Murdoch's huge conglomerate of news lies and generation, the Brofman family running through their financial interests the nation of Canada, hate laws being spawned by them, homosexual movements being propagated by them, control over education, where lies become truth in their bizarre, sick world. And truth become lies, such such as the French Connection's well-founded research claim to be anti-Semitic, which I am not an anti-Semite. I'm a man who's willing to stand up and say it like he finds it and put the facts before you and then ask you to decide freely, openly, honestly, by looking at these important discussions and these important facts yourself. Do your own research. See if you find the same things I found. I did not start out knowing this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. It took me years of work to understand this. Now, my job has been to educate you in a shorter period of time than it took me, because we are in very, very late hour here. We are at a crossroads in world history where if we don't come together as a people, if we do not begin to work hand in hand, intergroup between Muslims and Christians and Jews who don't want this to be done in their name, and people from the Sikh religion and from Hindus and non-religious people, people who just want their families to be left in peace and not vaccinated with poisons and not have their skies sprayed by barium and by aluminum so that they don't become sick and have immune systems compromised. These are the people we have to reach out to from our community. You cannot stay segregated within your own community in this fight. You must reach across the aisle, across the river, across the ideology, and welcome people who have a similar interest as yourself. There are good people from all over this globe who follow many different paths to their own truth, and they do not want what has been planned for them to be done. They simply don't want it to come and take over their lives as it is happening. But yet, they through the media, these Zionists through the media, keep us fighting amongst each other, keep us sitting in a situation of distrust. People saying it has to be, if I don't condemn all Jews, I must be bad, they say to me. Well, certainly, to condemn all Jews is racist, because not all Jews are involved. As you would not condemn all Italians for the La Cosa Nostra Mafia. It certainly would be a lie to say that. And, of course, there are many people who support Zionism without knowing the facts. They are learning the facts. In a recent visit to Toronto, a group of anti-Zionist Jews were campaigning against Zionists in the open streets. Of course, they were shouted down by a group of B'nai B'rith followers, and a big scuffle ensued. But, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we got a great guest, Yaakov Zaki, James Dickey, coming back on with the French Connection. You in South Africa know him well. The American market who listens to the French Connection knows him well, and so does Europeans. He is from London, area off north of London, and we will have him just after the breaks. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
All businesses, big or small, let us help you move your load, big or small. Motor Deal Truck and Commercial have a large variety of commercials and heavy-duty vehicles for all your needs at incredible prices. Trade-ins welcome. Trucks and commercials, big or small, contact Ismail at 016-421-3665. Remember Motor Deal Truck and Commercial at 016-421-3665. The recent intense aerial bombardment on Gaza has left scores of people killed and hundreds more injured. The bombings have taken the lives of civilians, including women and children. The blockade of Gaza has also forced more than half of its 1.5 million population to be dependent on humanitarian assistance. The Al Imdad Foundation has been delivering humanitarian and developmental assistance in Palestine through our partners in Gaza and by our offices in Amman, Jordan, for the last 5 years. Donate online by visiting alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243 for more information.
You're listening to The French Connection on CII.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have everybody here in this listening audience from throughout the world. We are listened to in 156 countries and growing. It is not hard to grow the truth if you are given the opportunity. And people who spend any time with these facts come to understand that the French Connection has been a source of the truth for a very long time. And, you know, we don't always get it perfect. We don't always get it right. And when we don't, I expect my listeners to correct me. I expect the people who research these items and these informations, these histories, to get back to me on what they find different from my story so that I can re-examine what I say on the air and make sure it comes out correctly. We do not want innocent people blamed, and we do not want the guilty getting away with crime. So please share your information with the French Connection through IamTheWitness.com, and Smith at IamTheWitness.com is my email address. I'm going to bring up Yakov Zaki, James Dickey, right now. James, are you with me?
Yes, I'm always with you, Donald.
Well, James, you know, we do great work together. You are a remarkable researcher. You've spent a lifetime looking at history as a an avocation, as a heartfelt interest that you've kept, because you're a man who can't stand the lies that are being spun worldwide, James. I mean, they are affecting good people everywhere, and now more than ever with this financial collapse that's going on, engineered by these people. Let's do a little bit of well, why don't you tell people who are not aware of who you are, what your background is? You've been a professor, and why don't you give people a little curriculum vitesse, if you will.
Well, I was born in Scotland, the son of a Scottish engineer, a marine engineer. You can't get more Scottish than that, can you?
No.
Because at one time, it was that profession was a Scottish monopoly. If you see any old black and white film, invariably, the marine engineer has a comic Scottish accent.
Yes.
My mother was simply his aunt's secretary, so of that, I'm afraid, lower middle class conjunction, I was born. But although my father, as a marine engineer, had travelled 3 times around the world, it didn't do much to broaden his mind, you know, and he didn't approve of my career, devoting my life to the study of Arabic literature. Eventually, I became a specialist, not just a literary historian, but a political one as well, because I specialized in the field of Hispano-Arab history. To me, this is very interesting, because Spain is the link between two continents, and therefore between two great civilizations, that of Islam and that of Europe. I mean, if we go back to that newspaper interview that García Lorca gave shortly before his death, and which some people say may have been instrumental in bringing about his assassination, in which the reporter asked him about the Arab civilization of Spain, and he said that 1492 was one of the great tragedies of history. Well, he said, aunque digan lo contrario en las escuelas, even though they say the opposite in the schools, showing that education in the Catholic schools of Spain, and this was under the Republic and the monarchy, was not telling the truth about the history of their country. I mean, that we can see in a phrase like la Reconquista, or the Reconquest, which implies, doesn't it, that the Spaniards took back their own country. But it's not true. Spain has only been Spanish for 500 years. Before that, it was Arab for 800. Before it was Arab, it was not Spanish. It was Visigothic. Before it was Visigothic, it was Roman. Before it was Roman, it was Carthaginian. Before it was Carthaginian, I'm not sure what. Maybe Celt-Iberian. Which means if any people have a claim to the soil of Spain, I would say it's the Irish, or perhaps we Scots, which just shows the absurdity, you know, of the Jewish claim to the land of Palestine. After all, if you're going to hand one sector of the Levant over to its original inhabitants, who departed in the diaspora, beginning with the conquest of Jerusalem by Titus in AD 70, then why not apply it to all the others? What's sauce is good for the goose is sauce for the gander, as the proverb says.
Well,
I think, in fact, England should be handed over to Italy, and the Roman Empire reconstituted right up to Hadrian's Wall, if we follow this absurd logic.
Well, I agree with all the things you've said, James, and you know, one of the interesting things about that conflagration that happened under Isabella, and you know, that period of history, though, was fraught with sinister motives, and the Jews that lived there, who were profiting off of both communities. They were involved in both Christian communities to the north as well as Islamic and Muslim communities to the south.
Yeah, and financing both, because Spain is not a united
country. As they always have. Now, interesting, though, when Isabella finally said, look, we are going to take this back and get rid of both groups, Islam and Judaism, what ended up happening is we created a sinister underground of Muranos and of Jews that were no longer claiming to be Jewish, but in fact were. And now they worked as... Now, they used that as a jumping-off point to found Salonika, Greece. They used it as a way to get into Eastern Europe. A lot of Sephardic Jews moved out of Spain and went on... went on these pilgrimages around the world. You find Jews running Mexico City right now using names that are very Latino, and yet they're not Latino Christians at all, but they're Jewish. And you think they're Christians, and you'll find them in Hollywood even. You find them in politics in America. So
What about that famous actress in The Graduate, famous for the seduction scene? Her real name was Polly Dano. She died quite recently.
That's right.
So it means that she is of Toledan Jewish stock.
Which
brings up another link. I mean, what is the link between the Jews and vice? Between the Jews and prostitution? Between the Jews and sexual laxity? Between the Jews and the decline of Christian morals?
That's right. And we know as a fact, James, and we're going to bring this up in a minute, that the pornography industry worldwide is controlled by Jewish interests. We also know as a fact that the drug trade out of South Africa, especially the cocaine and the ecstasy and the methamphetamine, now they were caught in a meatpacking plant in the United States making methamphetamine. The guy was an Orthodox rabbi in charge of manufacturing methamphetamine for sale to young American children, and he's not even in prison. He's out on bail. The facts are, we know that out of the German public was absolutely decimated by filth coming, pornography coming out of the Jewish community back in 1860, 70, 80, even. And you know, the first flicker machines. Now, isn't this interesting? The first flicker machines.
The flicker machine, yes.
The first films that were ever built, it was a machine that sent a photograph quickly so that it looked like there was a movement, were actually put on boardwalks across the United States and in dark rooms with pornographic photographs on it made by Zionist Jews, and people would come in and so these are the first pornography that the world saw visually, and it was propagated in the United States and Europe by Zionist Jews, and this is the beginnings of their sickening of society. They've been doing it longer than that, but this was a new business for these people to get involved in, if you will. And it helped them structure themselves into Hollywood, even.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, the Colombian drug cartels are centered in Miami, which, along with New York and L.A., is one of the three main centers where the Zionist crime syndicates operate.
Well, let's go back a little bit, you and I, on a little bit of a history tour here. Let's go back to Queen Victoria's England and the government she was handed.
Glad you mentioned Queen Victoria, because we're not even certain about the Gentile genes of our own royal family, because she married Prince Albert, and Prince Albert may have been half Jewish, because Albert's father, as so happens so often with the upper classes, was impotent, and his mother had a Jewish lover, a doctor, I think. And the question is, was Albert conceived before or after his father's impotence? Now, since people are impotent, don't usually advertise the fact. If he were conceived before, after the father's impotence, it means that Albert was 50% Jewish.
Ah. Well.
And that way, Jewish blood may have entered the British royal family. Well, I'm glad to say the present heir to the throne, Prince Charles, although he attends Jewish ceremonies, because that's part of the job, nevertheless, he is rumored to be pro-Palestinian. And you'll see that all the propaganda against him in this country is organized in the Murdoch press. And I don't need to translate Murdoch for you, but for maybe for your audience, it will come as a revelation that Murdoch is Mordecai.
That's right. That's right. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, Queen Victoria's end of her reign, she became such a non-participant in her own government that a man named Disraeli, a Jew, was involved as the first minister. And there was a lot of shenanigans, a lot of political intrigue within the halls of both the House of Lords as well as the House of Commons as well as the judiciary, where many Jewish interests were forwarded as a government policy. And can you talk a little bit about that period and how...
Well, I was a student in Cairo for 2 years, so I know the history of the Suez Canal, built by the great French engineer de Lesseps. But remember that Ismail, the Khedive, the Khedive, as we say in Arabic, the viceroy of Egypt, viceroy, that is to say for the real roy or king, who is the sultan in Istanbul, because Egypt was an Ottoman dependency, he is known as Ismail the profligate because he squandered money as if it were water. And eventually he had to sell the Suez Canal. Britain at that time, believe it or not, this didn't have the money, so Disraeli went to Rothschild and he advanced on the money to purchase the Suez Canal, which may have been explained Britain's reluctance to give up the Suez Canal to Egypt in 1956 when Nasser nationalized it, because it wasn't Britain giving it up, it was the Jews giving it up.
That's right, that's right. And how this, see, but you look at the company called Suez Lyonnaise des Eaux here in France, who has now started purchasing Gaz de France, and many of the other important utilities in France are also controlled by Jewish interests. You find that the Vivendi company used to be, now it's called Veolia, also around the world, also run by Zionist Jewish interests and Rothschild, buying up all the utilities. What we find is that these groups have a long, a multi-century history of taking things away from non-Jews. And the interesting thing is, James, there's only a few million of them in the world. We're not talking a large number here. So
it's extraordinary. I mean, they are financial supermen. Either that or it's the Gentile weakness.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, now let's get back to the beginnings with Disraeli setting up the Victorian period as a weak point for central government control outside the hands of political intrigues. Mm-hmm. I mean, Disraeli, this guy was handing over a lot of the control of the Victoria government over to merchants and to business people and to... This was the beginning of the end of the control of Britain by British. It was
I mean, Disraeli was linked to the Rothschilds, as was Rhodes in South Africa. So it was a worldwide network. And it was at this time that the Jews were systematically penetrating the upper ranks of British society, namely the landed aristocracy. I know this from my own experience. I was at school with Alfie Primrose. Now, the name of Primrose will not be familiar to an American audience, but it is the family name of the Rosebery of the Rosebereys. Lord Rosebery was Liberal Prime Minister for a very short time during the 1890s. Now, it was his grandson, or his, more probably his great-grandson, that I was at school with. And, in Scotland, I mean, the cane is much too sexy for Calvinist Scotland. So here, when you're naughty, you're punished with the taws, which is a hideous leather instrument that produces great pain when you're struck with it. And because Alfie was my school chum and we sat together, it meant we got punished together because, like all little boys, were extremely mischievous. So I can always remember remember, whenever we were called out to the floor, the teacher would say some phrase like, from you, Dickie, I would expect anything, but you, Primrose, belong to one of the leading families of Scotland. Do you behave like this at home? Followed by wallop, wallop, wallop. And of course, at that age, 12 or 13, you don't know anything about genealogy, do you? And it was only years later that I realized that my school chum was, in fact, partly Jewish, although he looked 101% Gentile.
Yeah. Well, that is the case, especially when you take a look at the Hollywood stars today, and you can't make, you know, the people who make this, and it's not accurate. They make this characterization of Jews looking a certain way. Now, while there is an ethnic profile to some people within the Jewish community, it's not true that all Jews look the same. It's a lie. And the fact is, this is a lie that they want propagated because it allows them to infiltrate into Christian communities without suspicion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Now let's move on a little bit into the beginnings of the World War I period, where these interests in the Eastern European theater, in the Habsburg failure, you know, the Habsburgs dynasty was so fraught with inbreeding that there was really nobody over in that group that could run that country. So
my
they brought
God, in Spain it was even worse. Do you know that Charles II, who died, I think, in 1700, his upper and lower jaws wouldn't meet, and he had to be fed with a spoon. As my professor said to me, he was a disaster as a man, how much more so as a king? And this was all the result of inbreeding. And when you look at our present royal family, did you know that Prince Philip is related to the Queen in 42 different ways, apart from the marriage?
Yeah.
That's why all royals, in corresponding with each other, they call each other dear cousin, because they are cousins.
Well, but here's the interesting thing, okay, when we saw the Habsburgs' failures, as in Spain as well, but in mostly in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, starting to degrade, they brought in professional managers from the Jewish community to run that empire, and that handed over its wealth and control to that group. And
mm-hmm.
what we saw was that in the lead-up to the World War, they already had marching orders given to them by this new conference that took place in 1897 in Basel, Switzerland.
Yeah.
And interesting that the name Baal, B-A-A-L, is a Talmudic Zoharite nation of where outside of what's the what is Baal's significance? Because it's
Baal is spelled B-A-L-E as a toponym, but of course there is a Semitic word Baal meaning a god or local deity, like Hannibal, for instance. Hanni is an ancient Semitic word meaning worshipper, so the name of Hannibal means worshipper of the god, a Carthaginian god.
Well, we know that there
I don't know if there'd be any connection in this, but certainly, I mean, Baal is where not just the first Zionist Congress was held in 1897, but the subsequent one in 1898, when Herzl went back to report to the Congress on the failure of his negotiations with Sultan Abdulhamid of Turkey.
Well, you know, James, we're going to hold
which
off
in
right
fact
now.
Is the real background to the First World War, although our history books don't say so.
We're going to get into that background in just a moment because we have another break coming up, ladies and gentlemen. So please hold on for our sponsor's important words, and we'll be right back.
Hello? Oh, hello, Zakia, my child. Will you help me calculate zakat on my gold jewelry?
Sure, I will. But tell me, have you had it weighed and appraised?
Why? What do you mean weighed and appraised?